Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Whole Foods Market brings you meals worth sharing this holiday season. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com/shop for our online menu and ordering system. Local turkeys, inspired sides, and even a little something for your hosts, all available online or in-store at one of our 6 Manhattan locations. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com for more details.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host and producer is Sophie Schlesinger. And today on our show, we are very pleased to be talking with Matthew Lang, who is the owner of Lang Dairy Development and the development coordinator of North Carolina Dairy Advantage. Matt, are you with us?
Well, it's good to be joining you today.
Thank you for taking time out to be on the show.
Indeed, it's my pleasure.
So it's funny, on this show, I feel like we've talked with a ton of cheesemakers, we've talked to some retailers, we've talked to different people from different walks of life, people who make cheese equipment, but we've never really talked to anybody like you. I would love for you to kind of explain how you got started in the dairy business in general, and then sort of what you do now.
Sure. Well, I can start back a few years ago. I originally started off working at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture in a program that was called as the Value Added Dairy Initiative. And in that capacity, my job was working with small farmstead cheesemakers, as well as dairy producers, as well as large commercial dairy processors, and really, in general, helping grow the dairy industry in Wisconsin. During that time, I met and became acquainted with some dairy industry professionals here in North Carolina, and I just decided to opt for warmer weather and shoveling less snow. So I made my way down here to North Carolina, and in my current capacity, I work as the dairy development coordinator, trying to grow North Carolina's dairy industry, and that means working with existing dairy farmers, helping them increase profitable opportunities, look at opportunities for expansion. We work with several farmstead dairies, looking at helping them grow their product lines, increasing marketing, things of that nature, as well as helping relocate new dairies and get new dairy operations started in the state. So it's a rather abstract job at times, but it's probably a hybrid between a private consultant, an extension agent at a local university, and maybe a little bit of a magician at times, too.
We all need one of those, for sure. So can you tell us a little bit about the dairy landscape in North Carolina? Last week on our show, we spoke with a woman from an upstate dairy farm in New York, and New York is quite a large producer of dairy products. But I believe you said North Carolina is a little bit further down there on the scale.
Yeah, North Carolina is known as a traditional dairy state. Currently, there's about 45,000 dairy cattle in North Carolina, and we've got about 300 or so dairy farms, registered dairy farms. So, you know, in comparison, Wisconsin has, I think, about 13,000 or 12,000 some dairy farms and has over a million cows. So that's a bit of a difference between North Carolina and, say, a traditional dairy state. But we have a very rich dairy heritage here in North Carolina. The dairy producers that are here are very successful. They've They've implemented a lot of modern technologies and really have been quite progressive, and they've needed to in order to compete with some of those traditional dairy states. But we also have a great university program at NC State University. They have a dairy research in both in food science and in dairy production. So we have some good support here in North Carolina, even though we're not as robust as, say, New York or Pennsylvania.
And now, can you tell us a little bit about what those partnerships would look like with NC State? I was actually had the opportunity to visit NC State last week and was pretty impressed by the facilities that they have there. Do you organize workshops and things like that for your farmers to go and take advantage of the learning that's going on there?
Yeah, I think that's probably the greatest asset to what we do, or the best way to explain what we do at Dairy Advantage. NC Dairy Advantage is actually a collaboration of the dairy industry. That includes the Department of Agriculture, NC State University, the University Extension, industry partners. It could be co-ops, feed dealers, milk companies. Just a whole conglomeration of folks have come together. And so, for example, working with the university, NC State has a artisan cheesemaking short course once a year, and it's usually several days long. And we help out with that in terms of giving presentations on marketing and distribution of artisan cheese products, as well as helping set up business plans and things of that nature. Earlier in the year, we partnered with the Department of Agriculture in putting together a workshop for beginning farmstead cheesemakers, helping them identify resources. We also work in partnership with the Department of Agriculture and Whole Foods to sponsor artisan cheese booths at both of our state fairs. And we help in that capacity by promoting farmstead cheesemakers, helping them sell their products, and really getting the publicity out there about what they're doing. And we work with University Extension to put on workshops and work one-on-one with dairy producers. We have a thing here in North Carolina that we actually adopted from Pennsylvania, and that is what we call profit teams. And so myself and industry professionals, they could be veterinarians, business consultants, accountants, nutritionists, we work together in helping dairy farmers resolve some concerns or issues they have on their farms. So if they're having a problem with milk quality or something like that, that's something that a partnership between all of those allied industry folks can help with.
That's really amazing. I feel like, you know, Dairy Advantage in general, just listing off the types of organizations that are partnered with you for Dairy Advantage and then these profit teams, it sounds like it's all very progressive and based on communication between industries and people with different areas of expertise, which I feel like is the key to pretty much any successful business operation.
Definitely no recipe for what we're doing. I think it's rather unique and a bit of a hybrid.
Now, let me ask you this. You spent a lot of time talking about farmstead cheese production, and of course, we all know that that's a great way for farmers to add value to their dairies and to kind of take the reins, as it were, of their own kind of economic sovereignty. But I'm sure you work with plenty of dairy farmers in North Carolina that are not farmstead cheesemakers. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the services that that you provide to those farms and kind of what the state of affairs is for people producing fluid milk in North Carolina.
Sure. You're right in that about all of the 300 dairy farms that we have in North Carolina, just a few really are farmstead-based. The remaining dairy operations are commercial dairies, grade A. That means that they're producing milk for milk bottling, and they ship that through co-ops or independent milk sales throughout the state and the region. So the landscape of the dairy producers here in North Carolina, there's the state herd average is about 180 cows per farm, and that will vary. We work with dairy farmers that have 50 cows and those that have over 1,000 cows. And, you know, with the commercial dairy operations, as some might be aware of, you know, there's increased volatility due to increased input costs, being feed and fuel, land and things of that nature, as well as the volatility that we see in the milk prices. 2009 really hit the dairy world very hard. That was we saw some of the lowest milk prices ever in 2009, and now we're seeing some of the highest milk prices we've seen in a long time. So that that up and down, real steep curve, if you will, is really difficult to manage sometimes. And so Dairy Vantage helps dairy producers, working one-on-one with them and through educational workshops, helping them identify some ways that they can save money, whether it be looking at alternatives in their feeding. Maybe it's converting to a pasture-based system where their feed costs may be lower, and that might help increase their margins. It might also be helping them identify alternative markets to increase their milk, the price for their milk, and that might be an organic. We've got a number of growing organic dairy farms in North Carolina. And just in general, kind of being on call for dairy producers here in the state, whether they're looking for equipment, they're looking for someone who's got expertise in a particular software program that they might be using, or helping them formulate a ration for their cattle. They might be looking at leasing some of their cows. All different kinds of questions we get. So we cover a wide spectrum of the dairy business and try to help in any way possible.
That's really pretty amazing, I have to say. It's kind of the dream. I feel like, you know, yeah, like you said, yeah. Magician, people dream of having a resource like that. Sophie, did you have a question? Or?
Yeah, well, I guess you touched on it a little bit, but I was just going to ask for you to maybe talk a little bit more about, you know, what these profit teams are suggesting from kind of all sides with everything being so unstable, you know, and if this kind of trend continues, what are you hoping to see change first, or what are just some of the different aspects that you're hoping to be able to assist with?
Sure. So whether it be the profit teams or just working with producers individually, I think the biggest thing right now is managing risk. Risk management is very key for dairy farmers with all that volatility. So it might be looking at buying their feed at a certain time when prices might be lower, helping them store up more feed. Dairy farmers might look at buying more feed at a given time or actually adding acreage to their farm so that they can build up their feed supplies so that when feed prices might go higher, you know, they've purchased their feed before at a relatively lower price. Also looking at ways that we can really help manage our dairy operations, not just through those hard times when milk prices are low, but also through the good times. You know, when that paycheck is coming, that milk check's coming in, and there's actually something left over at the end of the day, what do we do with it? Where's the best place to reinvest it in the farm? And I think that's pretty much what we're working on right now with a lot of dairy producers. Is they know that time is coming forward when milk prices won't be as high. So how do we best utilize what we have right now? And I think really, you know, just increased innovation, looking at ways that not just cutting costs, but ways we can be more efficient, ways that we can improve our milk quality, ways that we can increase our reproductive efficiency with dairy cows. You know, the being able to have a good reproductive program and have heifers and such coming in through the stream is really important, not just today, but down the road. And I think that probably sums it up best, and that's, you know, we're not just helping dairy farmers manage risk today, but we're looking 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, and helping them figure out what do we do now so that we're better situated when that time comes.
Now, I was just wondering about, you know, we keep talking about the milk price and how volatile that is. You know, we were talking, like I said, last week with Lorraine Lewandowski, who is a farmer upstate New York, and she was saying that in New York State, despite the fact that they're a large producer, New York State's a large producer, their milk checks are typically lower than all of the surrounding states. I think she quoted $20.88 for 100 weight. I was wondering if you could talk about the price of milk in North Carolina and how that structure differs.
Sure. So a lot of the milk, first and foremost, a lot of milk I'm not certain about New York, but here in North Carolina, almost all of our milk goes into fluid milk production. So we have our milk going into milk bottling operations. Very, very little, if any, goes into cheese making. And that alternative milk being bottled makes our price a little bit higher. That's the first thing. The second thing is we're a milk deficit state. Being milk deficit, that means we're bringing milk into North Carolina just to meet the demand of our milk plants. So I think we've got about six grade A milk plants in North Carolina. And so our dairy farmers ship milk to them, but we also have to bring milk into the state. And not only that, but we have to bring milk into the whole southeast U.S. Just to meet the needs of our processor demands. The downside is we have to bring that milk in. The plus side is we pay a higher price for the farmers for their milk here. So in some cases, it's a great place to dairy because here in North Carolina, we have some of the highest milk prices in the country that we pay to farmers. So it's a great place to dairy farm as compared to maybe a place where, like New York or Wisconsin, where they have a glut of milk. Their price is generally lower.
Interesting. And so I would just wanted to sort of dig in. You said that the price was also higher because the milk was being sold as fluid milk. Milk that's being turned into cheese on the commodity market, is that generally made from a different grade of milk?
No, it's the same. It depends state to state, really. And when you look at, class three is cheese, basically milk that's going into cheese production. And that has a big significance of how milk is priced throughout the whole country, no matter what capacity it's going into. But generally speaking, with fluid milk, the price is relatively higher. And added on to that, you know, we're deficit, so we need more of that milk coming in. Those two sources right there make the price higher.
Interesting. Milk pricing. It's a yeah. Never-ending kind of web. I'm continually learning more about it. Well, we are about halfway through the show, so we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will hear more from Matt Lang and Dairy Advantage in North Carolina. Stick with us.
Come on. And yes, y'all, you are now in tune to the sound of the legendary Foundation. Come on, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5
the hot music, hot music, the hot music, the hot music, the hot music, the hot music. Yeah, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, it's how we usually start. Once again, it's the thought, the Dalai Lama of the mic, the prime minister thought. This directed to whoever and listen, it rains. Yo, the whole state of things and the world about to change. Black rain falling from the sky looks strange. The ghetto was red hot, we stepping on.
And we are back on Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. On our show today, we are talking with Matt Lang, who is the director of North Carolina Dairy Advantage and also the owner-operator of Lang Dairy Development. So, Matt, I have to say, it's funny. We met last week when I was down in North Carolina, and I cannot believe that you have managed to do all that you do. And I believe, are you 29? Am I remembering that correctly? Matt, are you with
29
us?
29 a couple weeks ago.
All of a sudden, I was like, uh-oh, he's mad at me. I hope you don't mind me calling you out on that. I just, it's pretty incredible. I find that, you know, you've accomplished so much and are really kind of a wealth of knowledge. I guess we're very lucky that you got an early start, so you'll have a long and illustrious career in the dairy industry. So I was just wondering, can we talk a little bit more about your own personal business, Lang Dairy Development, and what you offer as a personal consultant for dairy farmers?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so Lang Dairy Development actually started really out of, I guess, just the growing work that I've done here in North Carolina. We've gotten a number of dairy farms and farmers throughout the Southeast that have contacted me and whom I've worked with. And a lot of it really at the end of the day just comes down to looking at where resources are at. You know, I think years ago, university extension and such, there were resources readily at hand. But with the loss of dairy farms throughout the country and also the loss of that infrastructure, you know, the dairy farmers who are left are struggling to find services. So I work with a number of dairy producers, really just helping them identify resources, working with a dairy producer right now on a farm transition, being that they don't have a really anybody to pass their dairy farm down to, and just connecting them with an individual who could take over that dairy in a couple of years. Work with a number of other individuals on implementing some software to help them manage their finances and manage their dairies better. So really, it's I just cover a wide spectrum. Whatever the dairy producer needs, I try to find. If I can't help them, I try to find somebody who can.
Now, that you brought up a really interesting thing, because that's something that in the farmstead cheese business, it's becoming more of a concern as well, the whole succession issue, because transferring a dairy between generations seems like it's pretty, well, transferring a dairy from a family to a new owner seems like really tricky business. Can you talk a little bit about experiences you've had or how you've managed that and maybe some success stories that people could take notes on?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter whether the farm is being passed down from grandfather to father to grandson, or it's being passed down from a couple that owns the dairy and, you know, another couple is coming and working for them, and then they're buying into it. It's complex no matter who's involved. I think each farm transition is, I think, needs to be taken case by case because they're so different. The most important need that dairy producers or farm owners, for that matter, looking in at farm transitions is really how do we plan this out and how do we make it equitable and fair to all who are involved. And I think that's something that has to be taken farm by farm on an individual basis, because there's so many differences. But some of the things that I've really seen that have been successful have been young individuals who have come into a dairy operation, for example, and worked as an employee. And so this individual might not be a family member at all, just someone who wants to get into the dairy business, hopes to own their own farm someday. And they actually work just as an employee for several years, probably working as a farm manager, helping make some of the day-to-day decision-making. And that's the first phase. The second phase is really more of an equal partnership almost. So working with accountants and attorneys, we can help formulate a plan for that successor to come in, and maybe they buy shares of the farm. The farm might be incorporated, and they buy stock in it, for example. And they then start making some of the decisions on, say, a year-to-year basis. They're making some of the long-term decisions. Are we going to build a new parlor? Are we going to build a new barn? Another way to do that, too, if you're not setting up a farm as a corporation, is really to get that young individual to buy cows. The herd of cows is there already. Get them to take ownership of the cows, and then they can actually lease the dairy from the owner. And that's a nice, clean way of kind of beginning the transition, because if at the end of the day they grow their herd and it outgrows the dairy, they own the cows. And they can take the cows and move to a new location and not have to worry about, goodness, what do I do with this farm now? You know, how do I sell it? I can't buy another farm until I have this one sold. So really getting that successor to own livestock first is really a nice, clean way of beginning. And then that kind of takes us into the third phase, and the third phase is really letting go. I laugh at that because that's probably the hardest one of all. It's hard because if your successor is a family member, or the person you're taking over the farm from is a family member, that's really difficult because that younger generation may have a new way of doing things, might have a new idea. You know, dad may have fed cows in a confinement style for a long period of time, and this is what he's done and what's worked for him. But junior might have an idea of, you know, I'm going to graze a little bit. You know, I might have somebody else raise my heifers for me, or something of that nature. And that may go against what dad believes is best. But some very close dairy farmers have told me that the best thing they've ever done is just step back and let them make their decisions and let them be the managers, you know, when that time comes. And sometimes that's hard not to micromanage, especially if it's family, but I think it needs to be done if we want to see our farms continue into that next generation.
No, it's very true. And I feel like it's also an issue that every business owner faces. You think, oh, how could it possibly work if I'm not here making all these decisions? Then you leave and everything goes smoothly. And you're like, oh,
right.
Awesome. There are so many smart people that are, you know, are part of this, you know, part of this team. So that's an interesting thing. Well, I mean, and you don't have to, I don't know if it's possible to get into the nitty gritty of this, but just in terms of the financing required for a young person to take over a dairy like that, I feel like that oftentimes is the biggest hurdle, because even if the young person has put in their time, their sweat equity, it's really difficult for somebody to get money to do that from a bank. Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen that play out?
No, you're right. It can be daunting for a young individual. Just a few weeks ago, I was at World Dairy Expo. In Wisconsin, Dairy Advantage was exhibiting there, trying to recruit dairy farmers to come to North Carolina. And I had the opportunity to speak with a number of young individuals, and they all said the same thing. I've got great experience. I either grew up on a dairy or I've been working on a dairy for 5-10 years. I went to college. I've got a degree in dairy science or something similar to that. And they have really what we would all would think are all the credentials, or at least a great start to a career as a dairy farmer. And their biggest hurdle is getting that financing. And some of it is dependent on the individual as a person who's going to the bank to borrow it. And some of it has to do with the economy. I don't want to blame either one. I think it's a mixture of the two. So the thing that young folks or anybody going into the dairy business, they really need to have a plan. Need to have, I know business plans are long and boring and dry, and, half the time, by the time you've got the business plan done, it doesn't even exemplify what you're doing anymore. But business plans are really critical because the bank wants to be able to see, can you pay us back? And can you manage a successful business over the long haul? A lot of banks, and a vice president of a bank told me this, the two things they really look at are, can you cash flow your business, and also your character. Are you the kind of person that they feel or believe can manage a business where you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of costs every year, and you maybe only have a few thousand dollars of margin every year? And that's tough. That's tough, and not everybody can manage that. So I think the things that I've worked with in helping young folks getting into the dairy business look at is, you don't need to own land, and you don't need to necessarily own buildings and own equipment. I think for so long we've been led to believe you need to own things. You need to own these aspects of the business to be successful. And I think we need to really instill in all of our business managers that you need to be profitable. And how do you get to be profitable? So for a lot of young folks, I encourage them to focus on buying cows, buying animals, and buying good quality animals, and investing in buying good feed, whether they're growing it themselves or they're paying somebody to grow it for them. To me, at the end of the day, that's what pays bills, is having good animals, whether they be cows or goats or sheep, and having good feed. You can eventually buy land and you can buy facilities. And if you can lease a place, that's really, lease a farm, that's really a great way to get into the dairy business, because it helps you build equity. It shows the bank that you can manage a business, and you probably get a lower interest rate on your loan to buy land and buildings. So that's something that I've seen that's been quite successful. I think it comes down to a lot of factors, but you have to plan ahead of time, and you have to execute that plan, and you have to really show that you can manage a business.
That, I feel like, is some of the most practical advice that has ever been disseminated here on Cutting the Curd. it is a sad fact, but we face it every week. We are, we have run out of time, but I really would love, for you to, give us your website and, contact information, so anyone who's listening to the show can get in touch and really take advantage of the invaluable services that you provide.
Sure. If anybody's interested in learning more about what we're doing in North Carolina, or just about, the dairy industry here in general, they can see our website at www.ncdairyadvantage.com. And we have a number of links and information there. And we've just launched the website, so it's kind of under construction, but it's still a good resource to go to. You can also go to our Facebook page, and that's really a nice way for young folks to get in touch with us, too. And you can just go to Facebook and search Dairy Advantage. Otherwise, if people have questions or looking for information, they can email me directly at matthew.ncdairy@gmail.com.
matthew.ncdairy@gmail.com. Very good. Well, thank you so much for all of your for your time and your expertise, and I hope you'll join us again for some future episode of Cutting the Curd.
Indeed, I appreciate all that you guys do, and thank you for inviting me.
Thanks a lot. See you guys next week.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.